Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, when Sharon McSherry was just 14, she started to suffer debilitating migraines and really kept falling asleep in school. And years went by, doctors couldn't understand what the problem was, but she was later diagnosed with narcolepsy. Sharon is with us on the line today. Sharon, you might bring us back and just explain your symptoms, first of all.
Well, the symptoms that originally happened was that I had excessive daytime sleepiness and I had no control over it at all. I mean, basically, you'd be sitting watching TV and the next thing you'd wake up and it'd be like, oh, flip, I've missed the movie. Or you'd be having a conversation with somebody and the next thing my friends would be shaking you and saying, Sharon, you fell asleep again. And you just kept missing things. And then it was, it just got so bad that the family started to make a joke about it, as in like, you know, oh, Sharon can sleep anywhere, she'll sleep on a clothesline, or take Sharon with you, you know, don't take Sharon with you on any road trip because, you know, she falls asleep in the middle of the conversation. So that was kind of the excessive daytime sleepiness. And I never slept throughout the night. I'd wake up during the night with hallucinations. And I'd have really disrupted sleep, nighttime sleep. I'd have nightmares. I'd imagine people in the room with me, people sitting on my bed. I could actually feel the bed weighing down on one side where someone was actually sitting beside me. And then I would have sleep paralysis, where you are kind of, you're not really asleep, but you're not awake either. And it's like you want to scream out. And sleep paralysis, I find when you have like I would have a fear of rodents, of like rats and mice. So that would be the thing then that would affect me in my sleep paralysis, because I would imagine they were running through my hair and you couldn't do anything about it and you couldn't scream out, you couldn't ask for help and you couldn't come out of it. It's terrifying. The other thing is that then whenever I used to get excited or start to laugh, I would start to lose control over the upper part of my body. So originally it started off when I was very young, it used to just be like the droop of the head and I'd be like a nodding dog, you know, when I have nodding dogs, the head keeps bobbing. That was like me whenever I used to get excited or start to laugh, the head would start going, the head would be bobbing and the tongue would stick to the roof of the mouth. I'd get really dry mouth. And then as I got older, the cataplexy got worse. And I would have buckling at the knees and full body collapse. And people would ring ambulances and they think, flip, you know, Sharon's just collapsed, just fainted. And I was totally coherent. I mean, I would be so aware of all of these people panicking, but I couldn't reach out to them. I couldn't tell them, no, I'm okay, I'm okay. And what I learned to do then was that you had to just breathe through it. Because the more that I fought to come out of the cataplexy, the longer it took to come round. So you just had to breathe through it. And then gradually, then I would get the power back in my body.
So all of these symptoms throughout your childhood, you're in and out of doctors and no diagnosis really, Sharon, over the years?
No, it was only when the cataplexy got severely worse. And that was when I was moving up in my job as a travel agent. And the more pressure and the more responsibilities that I took on in my work, then the cataplexy got worse. The excessive daytime sleepiness got worse. I was driving and I was missing parts of the road. So I was living in the UK at the time. So I was living in Oxford and I'd have been traveling to Swindon or Banbury or some of the, and I was missing parts of the road. It was suddenly like, oh, flip, I'm here already. Because I was having micro sleeps in the car. Which is like, you know, the way you have like tunnel vision and you're like in an automatic mode and you just keep going and you're looking straight ahead and you look like you're awake, but you're not. You're actually, the brain has already gone into like a little nap. And I don't know, somebody up above was watching over me because thank goodness, you know, I did not have an accident.
Okay.
But I learned to have my stops, you know, at different service stations and have a cup of coffee, 10 minutes. Put the seat back, open up the sunroof and have a wee catnap. And then you go on ahead about your journey. But it was whenever that was starting to happen, it was scary. So I went to my GP at the time, and but they seemed to think that the weakness, they thought it was multiple sclerosis. So they were going down the road of MS. And I thought, here we go again, because I'd already been to neurologists and different people. And as I say, they put it down to depression, hormones. It's an age thing. It's stress. It's exams. They always seem to pass it off.
But your parents were watching a documentary one night. What was that about?
Yeah, that was a documentary. It was on it was a BBC channel, and it was about dogs. And there was a doctor on, a professor on, and he was saying he had just come back or whatever from Boston or somewhere and had piloted this new medication called Modafinil or Provigil. And he was talking about that, and he was saying how the excitement in the dogs were losing, like some of them, a couple of them like would lose the power in their back legs when they got excited, when they got to see their owners, or some of them would lose, like sometimes they would have, you know, where they would pee as well, you know, where they'd lose all control over their bodily functions. And then that's whenever they said that this was cataplexy, and cataplexy was related to narcolepsy, the excessive daytime sleepiness. And when my mum and dad were watching this and they were talking about, they were saying, that's something similar to what our Sharon has. But she gets excited. She goes all wobbly like that too. Or, and so she's always falling asleep too. And they were saying this. So they actually recorded it and sent me the VCR, the old tape. And they sent that over to me. And I watched it. And I took the name down of the professor. And it was a Dr. John Snation. And he was working out of Papworth Hospital in Cambridge. And I contacted him. And he was very interested then in seeing me. And I finally got diagnosed. I went in and had a two-night stay. And they put all the little electrodes on my head, all over my body, on my legs and everything. And I had a what they call a multiple sleep latency test throughout the 2 days that I was there. And he diagnosed me with acute narcolepsy type 1, which is narcolepsy with the cataplexy. And restless leg syndrome, because he said to me that the reason why I'm so exhausted as well during the day is because I run marathons in my sleep. And so that was a real breakthrough. But it was also very scary because I was due to get married that year.
And had you ever heard of narcolepsy before, Sharon?
No. No, never heard of it before in my life. No.
And is there a treatment for it?
There's no cure for it. There's no cure for it. It can be managed.
And how do you manage it?
I manage it by taking a nighttime medication to make me sleep, which mimics sort of a natural sleep rhythm at nighttime. And I take medication stimulants during the day, and I take 2 naps a day also.
It's got to be pretty debilitating then.
It is. And that's what's so frustrating, because people look at me and they go, oh, Sharon McShay, so she looks grand, so there's nothing wrong with her. You know, so, but they have no idea what
I
am living with.
Background. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I imagine, you know, it probably dictates a lot of what you do day to day, Sharon, in the sense that, as you said, if you have to, you know, build in 2 naps into the day, that probably restricts times you can do things, when you can, places you can go.
Yes. Well, I mean, even me getting up this morning and having a shower, by the time I have had the shower on it, see if I've washed my hair, I'm wrecked. See, after just even doing that, then I'm ready to lay down, and I could easily have maybe a 20-minute nap after just doing that.
How common is this condition, do you know?
There's a whole lot of people out there that have it and have no idea that that's what they have. They're being passed off as being depressed and everything else. We would claim that it's 1 in every 2,000 worldwide is affected by narcolepsy.
Right. And you've said, like, I take it when you got your diagnosis, there was obviously very little information, was there, Sharon, about this?
There was very little information. I mean, I asked him, that doctor in Cambridge then, I said to him, so who do I go to, you know, if I'm from Ireland? And he said, there's nobody specialises in Ireland. He says, there's only one doctor that he would have known as, and that was Dr. Catherine Crowe. So I was referred to her, and she worked out of the private matter in Dublin. She's retired, and Dr. Deirdre O'Rourke has taken over from her. And I attended Dr. Catherine Crowe then for what, nearly for about 18, 19 years then. And then with her conversion with my GP, and also I suffer with debilitating. You'll find most people who have narcolepsy will also have another debilitating illness. I suffer with chronic migraines. A lot of some people will have like arthritis, or they'll have another autoimmune disease or something, so they will. And so she would have, Catherine Crowe would have talked to my GP, and between the two of them, they worked out a regime for medication-wise for me.
Yeah. So you set up Narcolepsy Ireland, the charity, as an aid to support people, Sharon, who've been diagnosed with the condition. Yeah. And how do you help people with that?
We offer support. We have two support groups. We have a Northern Ireland support group, and we have about 42 members now in it. It's slowly growing. And then Narcolepsy Ireland, it was originally set up in 2012 by my fellow trustee, Aileen Armstrong. And we have 352 members in that group. And what we do is that, and that's a mixture of members now. There are not everyone has narcolepsy. It could be a parent of a child with narcolepsy. And there's also a couple of doctors in there as well. So you can ask questions, you can ask advice, and we will signpost you where to go to, where to get the help, recommendations in terms of like, you know, children at school, how they should be getting the help in school. And then we have virtual meetups online. We have Zoom calls. We also organise like different get-togethers. We usually have in March. We have a Suddenly Sleepy Saturday, and we have people are invited along, and we have guest speakers.
And I just imagine, finally, Sharon, that is it a condition that, like, do people often feel they're not believed when they talk about this?
Yes, very much so. And that there would probably be a reluctancy to go to the doctors and to go to your GP about it, because they kind of feel, you know, I feel silly going here because I can just fall asleep all the time, just tired. You know, they're going to think I'm really lazy. They're going to think that, you know, I just don't want to do anything, or it's just an excuse. But it's not, you know, and there's so many different sleep disorders out there. And we welcome everyone. There's different sleep disorders, there's sleep apnea, there's different things all out there. And they really need to go, because it can be detrimental to your health. You know, sleep deprivation is crucial.
Completely.
You know, if you suffer with sleep deprivation, you know, it affects your heart, it affects everything.
Absolutely.
It affects your emotions, it affects your diet. And, you know, it really does, because that part of the brain, you know, the limbic part of the brain controls so many different things. And it is crucial that if you believe that you might have a sleep disorder, you should go and get checked out.
Well, listen, Sharon, I'm glad to hear you're keeping well, and you're obviously well on top of your own condition now.
Yes, it's well managed.
That's good to hear. And if people listening today want to get more information, or feel maybe that, you know, this is a support benefit they can get assistance from, it's Narcolepsy Ireland Charity. That's the organisation where people can get in touch with you. Sharon McSherry, thanks a million, Sharon, for joining us here in Lunchtime Live today.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you so much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.